Accession number 30063, Reel 6.
Mr. Reed, Reel 6. I should have asked you, in England or at some stage, had you been taught about the dangers of VD and going with women with male?
Yes.
And we've had the films and so forth.
I didn't see any films, but we were told in no uncertain manner that don't be bloody silly. Not once, but time and time and time again. And it was a charge?
An army self-inflicted wound.
That's right, yeah, self-inflicted wound. Yeah, yeah. And I can't recall anyone having contacted him. I did hear him out when we got to Cairo and had to wait for being sent out. There was one or two of the old regulars there who had it regularly, you know. What do you call it now?
But you had to take, there were certain precautions you had to take if you were in a situation going into the town.
Yeah.
What were those?
It was cream. Cream. I don't know. Yeah, it was, I think. I don't know. I think it was a tube of cream or something. But he just, you know, whatever it was, just, I would prefer you not to take this at all, ever. But there were one or two regulars who were affected by it. Not on board ship, but regulars who were already stationed there. And then with the flow of it.
How long again did you say you were in Bombay? A few days?
Yeah, I would think Bombay would be there about four or five days. Yeah.
Did you feel any degree of unhappiness amongst the population against, as vis-a-vis the British troops? You know?
I thought they were not too much against the British troops, because there was already British troops there long before we ever got there. But I would say there was maybe feeling there, but our feeling towards the Indians was that they were a dirty lot. Now we saw the worst of it, you know. I mean, for instance, there's a woman on a big building site, and you wouldn't compare it, you couldn't compare it with the same size building site in this country, because it's a different way of getting up. There's steps on like that, big steps to climb up, and it's all scaffolding and God knows what else, and big steps, and they're building these buildings. And what happened somewhere, I remember it vividly. Mac said, he said, look at it over there. Look, this is the line with the servicemen, the seaman. Look. And she stood under the scaffolding, giving birth to a baby.
Different way of life, isn't it?
And she finished it, and she went back on the scaffolding and started work again. So, you know, I mean, bloody eyes, with the youngest, the eyes were coming out like organ stops.
Did they pester you for buying things when you're there?
No. We looked at them, these pavement people who were knocking the copper about and God knows where else. But no, we weren't sort of pestered at all.
So you went then onto another troop ship?
Yeah.
What was this troop ship
What
like?
Was the name of it? This was a troop ship. For nothing else but troops. And I've forgotten the name of it. There's the Devonshire, which was a troop ship. And I think it was the Devonshire, but there's about three of them.
And there was Lancashire.
There was the Devonshire. I really don't... I think it was the Devonshire we were on. I'm not quite sure. One or two of them. I think there was about three troop ships going at the same time. And that was... Really, you know, it was army style. This wasn't a civilian ship which had been taken over to move the troops. This was a troop ship moving troops in hammocks and God knows what else, with proper tables to eat off. Agreed, we were all big long tables on the mess floor. But it was, I think it was a Devonshire, I'm quite sure. Devonshire. And that was the one which took us away from Bombay, across to the Red Sea, up the Red Sea, and that was a lovely trip. because we had Doris Day and Ochono, I forget the name of them now, all on a great big screen, you name it, they said, we've got the troops here, get the pictures on for them. And we sat on deck and watched these things. Crawford, not John Crawford, I forget the name of it now. And we thoroughly enjoyed that until we got to. So it's.
What were the conditions like on board? Again, were you sleeping in hammocks?
Sleeping in hammocks on the Devonshire.
Was it that more regimented than
that was, yeah, very much so. It was geared to regimentating troops. They had to, because they had so many troops on board. And they had to do things their way, not your way. You had to present a good, clean picture to the captain when he came around. And if you didn't, you were in trouble.
Did you sleep on the same decks as you ate?
Yes. What it was, they had a galley, maybe two or three galleys for the chiefs, because they were from the side of the ship. You've got the table coming out right up to the side to sit about 24 men. And the hammocks were above. But at night time, at daytime, the hammocks were rolled up and stuck in the hammock rack, which was a big rack to hold them. So again, you had to have your hammock folded the way they wanted it, not the way you wanted it. Put your hammock in there. And then you could use a table, and it had to be clean, no cockroaches, nothing like that. You had to have a table sticking out there, then you ate your meal, and you cleaned up after you. Nobody else, no civilians, no crew, no nothing. You clean your own mess up afterwards. And we eventually, up the Red Sea, to Suez.
How long did that journey take?
Oh. Maybe a fortnight.
Do you remember the date that you arrived in Suez?
No.
Are we in 1940 still? In 1940?
We were in 1940, yeah. Yeah, still in 1940. Might have been creeping up to Christmas. I don't know. But I was creeping up there. It must have been 1940. We were getting up there. And...
Did you have any stops along the way? I mean, particularly in the Red Sea, did you stop on the way up?
No.
Aden, I'm thinking of, really.
No. We just went straight away up, straight in the Suez, and the most deadly, dirty hole I've never seen in my life. It was bloody awful. Look, man, it was a hot day. Probably been in the summer. 40. Yeah, maybe be in the back end of 40. I don't know.
Was the heat affecting me? I mean, sunburn, this kind of thing, were people catching
well, you were told. You were told, don't get sunburn, let you charge.
No self-inflicted.
Yeah. But you still got people who were sort of mad keen to get sunburn, you know. There was no such thing as what there is today, sort of style. Then it was either you got sunburned or you didn't. And that's when they were in trouble. It was charged for being stupid, if you like to put it that way. And
did you have duties on the ship itself?
No duties on the troop ship. No. No, they had the crew there, they knew what had to be done, and they did it and didn't mess around.
Did that make it somewhat boring, this journey, day by day?
There was enough to do. When you get to that stage, you make your own enjoyment or your own interest or whatever, you know. Even if it's playing cards or getting the house out or what. You make your own. So that wasn't bad. That trip was very good indeed. You spend a lot of time sitting watching the porpoises following the ship, don't you? That's it, and right up the Suez. That is the end of the troop ships. Where they went after that, I don't know, because the troop shot that we were on couldn't. The troop ship that we were on couldn't pick anybody up to go where, because there was only one place in the world where there was fighting going on, and that was in Egypt. So they couldn't take troops away from there. They had to sail empty. Duchess of Bedford, his name was, when he said empty, and I thought about the rolling Duchess, as we put it. The rolling Duchess. It seemed top heavy. And when you go to see it like that. So wherever they went with the Duchess of Bedford, probably there's only one way they could go, or two ways. One would be up the Suez.
The canal.
Up the Suez Canal, and go along through the Med, which would be very dangerous for it. Or the other way, down towards South Africa again, and pick up South African troops and bring them up, because they all go through the Australian, South African, Indian, they were all down there, and they would have brought those ones up there. And really, that was the end of, for what I thought, the end of sailing, but there's a lot more sailing to come.
So you got off at Suez?
Yeah.
What was your first impression of Egypt and the Egyptians?
Bloody awful. Absolutely terrible. But we didn't get much chance to look at them, because we got on coaches, or another train, I think. We got on a train with open, with no windows, trunk car seats, rails on, and that sort of thing. And we went up to Cairo in it. So that was where we just didn't see Suez at all. It was filthy, hot, sticky, and bearing in mind you've got two kid bags carrying with you, it was bloody awful. After having it semi-luxury on these different ships.
Then did you have stops in stations going up to Cairo?
No.
The train stop? It was straight through?
Straight through. It was full. It was absolutely full of troops.
It would be quite a long journey.
Eh?
It would be quite a long journey.
Yeah, it is. It's right the way down, you know, down the Suez. And that was it. We all went into Cairo. Not to Cairo, it's into Mardi. MAADI. Into Mardi, where it was just a holding place for the likes of us who were being posted to units in the desert.
Can you describe the camp for me that you were on?
Yeah, the camp had proper structured buildings with all the facilities in. It was sand, there were no roads, it was just sand, tents for the ordinary people, the likes of us waiting to be transferred to a unit. And the built up units, buildings, the built up buildings were used for the Nafi, for cigarettes and things like that, buying beer at nights, playing, you know, whatever it is.
Games room. A medical centre.
Yeah, they had a medical centre there, and that's where the little story attached to that. And excuse me, close my eyes. I'm thinking about what's his name, Burgundum. Didn't matter. But he was a bloke that said he was one of us. He was. He said, I'm not going to the bloody desert. Mick Rose, his name was. They're not getting me up the bloody desert. I'm not going to go up there and get me leg shot off, my head shot off. No, no. And he was the biggest scrounger on God's earth. I'm not going up there. Came the notice with the names up. I was up there. He was up there. Straight across to the medics. And knees bad. He'd been sitting with a wet towel. And his knee was like that. When we got away, he was all right. And this is what he kept doing. And he was home within 2 months. He was sent back to England within 2 months with a bad knee. So that was him. So we slept on the sand, we ate inside tents, big marquees. We washed our dishes in a Dixie, like that. Bear in mind, a bloody big tent. And you come out with you've been eating a meal, maybe a little bit wet, and all over the plate. In the Dixie, where another 50 blokes have washed the doings in it, and you wash yours in it. And then you go and get the sand and clean it off with the sand. And that was the only way we could clean them. We couldn't clean them any other way, because we didn't have anything. So the depot at Mardi was not very good. It did have a canteen for the Nuffy sort of style, where you could buy egg sandwiches, fried egg sandwiches and things like this. But that was nothing magnificent like the other places.
Did the food differ from what you had in England? You've got the same, in fact, British Army rations, just in the same way.
Yeah.
And was there any entertainment in the camp for you?
There was a big swimming pool, which the New Zealanders had. Their camp was next to ours, and they built a swimming pool of their own, and they allowed us to use it. So that was a godsend. In the middle of the desert, of course, like Cairo is, we were allowed to use a swimming pool. So things like that, you had to make your own entertainment.
And so what did you do each day?
That was it.
No parades around the regular.
No. Just keep your eyes on the notice board, and if your name come up, get yourself packed up, you're ready to go.
So was this a time when you were basically looking to the variety of units that you would be sent to?
Well,
you weren't going to go as a squadron.
Yeah, this is where you're going to be dished out. This is where you're going to be happy. Now, when you were dished out, let me think. There was at least 10 or 12 fellas who were going to the same unit, 7th Army Brigade headquarters.
And you were amongst these, were you? Just before we move on to those, what about the health by this time? Were there any nasty, unpleasant illnesses being caught?
No.
You hadn't reached that stage
yet? No. This... I don't know why the troops just didn't seem to bother with. They didn't look nice. They didn't look attractive. These different people. There was nothing to attract you, anybody, with them. So with the result, that everyone was reasonably happy.
You weren't getting things like what they call jippy tummy.
Oh, yeah, they should have had that.
That was came very quickly.
The food. Well, that came as well, of course, by the bloody Dixie. Where you've got about 120 blokes washing a plate in a cup in a Dixie, swishing it round, and that was all there was. There wasn't anything else, except that you go and you might find a tap and turn the tap on cold water and rub it round with paper or something.
Did you catch anything? Were you ill?
Yes, I was ill with dysentery.
You caught there when you landed in this camp, Mardi?
Yeah.
That must have been very unpleasant.
It's not nice. I had a couple of goes with it. Once with dysentery, that's not bad. It makes you run. You've got to be quick if you want to keep clean. But when you get dysentery, the severe type, that's bad. Dysentery, when it's really bad, and it knocks you, your legs go, the whole lot goes. You can't eat, it just goes straight through you. And it is really, really bad. It knocks hell out of you.
But this is the first type that you had, the minor type, you might say. And it's running. What about latrines in the camp? Were they in a fixed building or?
Oh yeah. Those. What they did was across the back. The latrines were just a big, and this is where they used the natives, for the black ones from South Africa. Just a big ditch. You've probably seen them anyway. Not so much in Hong Kong, but a big ditch with the Hessian sort of things up, bags, each dish with a pole over, and you sat on the pole, and just and that bloody flies all over the place. The totally neglected as far as that was concerned. But there would be about 8 feet deep, these things, and then they filled them in and moved somewhere else.
Had many men caught dysentery?
Oh yeah, everybody's sooner or later caught it, you know.
So there must be lots of people all running at the same time.
Yeah, whatever it was, yeah.
And there must have been cases when you just were caught short, you couldn't make it.
I couldn't. When I went to the ACV and working there, wasn't long before I pulled my pants up.
We
can't stop it.
No, we'll come to that, of course, when you get to that unit.
Yeah, can't stop it.
It's surprising that the army had conditions like washing your plates and things that would have encouraged this kind of disease, rather than being so clean.
I think it shook everybody, you know. Oh, bloody hell. Some lads couldn't have cared less. Wait that and then they go back and get some more sorts of stuff. But it was very off. I mean, you're going in an entirely different bloody situation. Hot, dirty, flies, and you weren't geared up to it.
I was going to ask what the conditions were with regard to flies, because you're now in a very, a fly-ridden area, aren't you?
You used to have, or you're supposed to have, or it was up to yourself to have a fly whisk. And you just kept knocking them off. And that, to my mind, was pretty awful, you know.
Did they make it difficult to eat and drink when you were feeding yourself at this point in time? When you went in this camp at Mardi, you know, at Mardi.
No. They had the big tents up there, the big, great big marquees, you know, and used to be served. Just go up and used to serve you, and then afterwards you clean your plate and whatever it was. It worked up to a point, but trying to keep your plate clean was bloody dreadful.
Were the natives coming to sell you things?
No, not there. They weren't allowed in the camp.
You hadn't reached that point.
No, they weren't allowed in.
You've been looking forward to that posting to get out of it, were you?
Well, I mean,
what's the alternative?
Can you be looking? What's the alternative? Can you be looking forward to somewhere where somebody's going to put an 88mm up your backside? You're dead. So all the flies in the world won't help you, or all the wogs down in Mardi won't help you. They can't help you. You're dead. So it wasn't a very pleasant thing to look forward to. It was pleasant in as much as far as I was concerned, it was pleasant that I got away from the front, from the tanks, because there was nobody there except the Germans, and they had bloody great 88mm guns coming at you. There was nobody in front of you. It was only them coming, and if they decided to have a go at you and push, you turned round and ran like hell. So the alternative would be staying back there. A, you weren't allowed to stay back. B, the people who lived there, I mentioned one, Don Kelly, the footballer, he looked after the football team. They stayed there and they didn't go up the front. And there were lots more others also stayed, sort of assistant to the doctor or whoever it was, you know, things like that. And they just managed, and they were all dug in very, very, very nicely. They had a tent, they had the sand covered up, and a nice, you know, it was all nice for them, sort of style. They had time and money to make a nice, comfortable sort of living for themselves.
So now you got to Egypt, and you're in this first depot camp.
Yeah.
What about mail and writing home and receiving mail?
You got it when it arrived, but sometimes it didn't arrive. Somebody else had been in there before you and had a look at it. If you posted something, they had a look at it at the post that was going to England.
It's a censorship, isn't it?
Yeah. And they would look at it and cross it out. Or tear it up, and you don't know whether that got there or not.
Who were doing this?
This is the local blokes in the camp.
Presumably men, people of rank?
Yeah.
Officers or what have you?
Oh, no. No, it wasn't the officers that did it, no. No. It was, this was part of the, they used to have post corporals, what they called post corporal, anybody with two stripes on, and they were a post corporal. And they would read it and say, well, what's this here? We've been with three tanks to so-and-so and got knocked one out. You know, things like that. What the hell is going on here? And they wouldn't allow that. They just
had you been told directly what to put in your letters or and what
they wouldn't
to leave
told
out?
Directly, use your common sense and do it. Where is it? I don't know. It's Norma's got it. Use your common sense, you know. It's a bit warm out here, instead of saying, I'm in the desert and I'm sweating like hell, and I could do with a pint of beer sort of style. It's warm out here and blah, 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 blah. They're all things that relate to a certain thing, but not really directly involved.
Like a personal code that you have with your family.
Yeah. And they had to make of it what they could sort of style.
Well, mail must have been a very important element in your life.
Well, we didn't get... you know, there was one time when we spent 6 months up the bloody desert. And we didn't have a drink. Not that I drank a lot, but we didn't have a drink. We didn't have a letter. You didn't have a card. You didn't get anything. It was completely and utterly barren. And they used to bring them up by land from Cairo, where they came over from Cairo, and that's bloody hundreds and hundreds of miles. And by the time I got up there, there was hardly anything left in the parcel. They used to send a parcel out from Headley's. And it had socks in, handkerchiefs in, towels in, and the whole lot. A nice, good factory made up parcel. And when it got there, it had two handkerchiefs in.
So they were.
They just ripped the corner off and put a hand in to what they could get. So it was all robbed on the way up.
That must have made you feel really bitter.
Yeah, that was chaotic. It was always chaotic. You never got your. Because you're moving so fast as well.
But you must have formed an opinion about the rear elements.
Oh, yeah. They were. They were there, and we knew they were there. We knew who they were. We knew what they were doing. There was no way that they were going to go up there. And the likes of us on the list, well, you know, you can't all stay here. They were in the know, and they made use of it. Believe it or not, they were still there at the end of 4 years and 9 months we spent, Liap, which was called Liap. They were still there after 4 years and 9 months when we had been here, there, and all over the bloody place.